Early the next morning, 18 September, our artillery and 81-millimeter mortars shelled Japanese positions to our front as we prepared to continue the previous day's attack northward on the eastern side of Bloody Nose Ridge. A typical pattern of attack in our company, or any other rifle company, went something like this. Our two mortars would fire on certain targets or areas known or thought to harbor the enemy. Our light machine gun squads fired on areas in front of the rifle platoons they were attached to support. Then, two of the three rifle platoons moved out in dispersed order. The remaining platoon was held in company reserve. Just before the riflemen moved out, we ceased fire with the mortars. The machine guns stopped also, unless they were situated where they could fire over the heads of the advancing riflemen. The latter moved out at a walk to conserve energy. If they received enemy fire, they moved from place to place in short rushes. Thus, they advanced until they reached the objective. The mortars stood by to fire if the riflemen ran into strong opposition, and the machine gun squads moved forward to add their fire support. The riflemen were the spearhead of any attack. Consequently, they caught more hell than anybody else. The machine gunners had a tough job because the Japanese concentrated on trying to knock them out. The flamethrower gunner had it rough, and so did the rocket launcher gunners and the demolitions men. The 60-millimeter mortar men caught it from Japanese counter-battery fire of mortars and artillery, snipers, who were numerous, and bypassed Japanese machine guns, which were common. The tankers caught hell from mortar and artillery fire and mines. But it was always the riflemen who had the worst job. The rest of us only supported them. Marine Corps tactics called for bypassing single snipers or machine guns in order to keep forward momentum. Bypassed Japanese were knocked out by a platoon or company of infantry in reserve. Thus, mortars fired furiously on the enemy to the front, while a small battle raged behind between bypassed entrenched Japanese and Marines in reserve. These Japanese frequently fired from the rear, pinning down the advance and causing casualties. Troops had to be well disciplined to function this way, and leadership had to be the best to coordinate things under such chaotic conditions. Marine tactics resembled those developed by the Germans under General Erich Ludendorff, which proved so successful against the Allies in the spring of 1918. If the riflemen hit heavy opposition, our 81-millimeter mortars, artillery, tanks, ships, and planes were called on for support. These tactics worked well on Peleliu until the Marines hit the mutually supporting complex of caves and pillboxes in the maze of coral ridges. As heavy casualties mounted, the reserve rifle platoon, mortarmen, company officers, and anybody else available acted as stretcher bearers to get the wounded out from under fire as fast as possible. Every man in Company K, no matter what his rank or job, did duty as a rifleman and stretcher bearer on numerous occasions on Peleliu and later on Okinawa.